In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadow.
At a coffee shop a few weeks ago, I encountered a person as I was making my way across the coffee shop. He pulled me aside and seemed interested. This guy in his 50s, I assume, a worker, someone, I don't know what I think his business was painting, he said, and on the side as a car salesman. And he basically pulled me aside, and he wanted to talk to me, but there's an interesting phenomenon that happens in my life a lot, is that oftentimes people ask me questions and tell me they're interested in what I want to say, but they actually then talk over me while I'm talking, answering, right? And so what do you think about this? Who are you? How, you know, what's this thing you're wearing, and who are you? I said, well, I'm a priest, and an Orthodox priest. And we get talking. Essentially, he's asking me about heaven. And a baseline, and in a funny way, he's kind of asking me if he is going to go to heaven, or if I think I'm the only one that's going to heaven and everyone else isn't. He explains to me that he is just a Christian, and that, you know, he believes in the Lord. The Lord is important to him. I asked him if he went to church. He doesn't go to church, but he just thinks that you could believe in the Lord. And by believing in the Lord, I just think if you acknowledge the Lord, that you'll be saved. So through a few stories, which I thought were rather elaborate, so we go to heaven, and when we're in heaven, I go to the pearly gates, and St. Peter interviews me and sends me here, and St. Peter interviews you and he sends you here. Do you think you have the bigger mansion? And I would get the shack. And I said, no, I'd get the shack because I have more responsibility than you. I'm the one that would be held to a stricter judgment, right? Stories like this, and at one point, the only thing I said that might have had any effect was that he said, do you think, I just don't think it matters. Does it matter? You're Orthodox, I'm this. You said I'm going to go to heaven, or that I might go to heaven. So what's the difference? Why should I be Orthodox? Why should I be Baptist? Why should I be any of these things if you're saying that I'll, you know, probably in the end I might end up in heaven anyways? I mean, if that's the goal, is to be in heaven, what does it matter? And I said, you're a painter, right? Do you know that anybody could paint my house, right? And they'd paint the walls. Have you ever met a bad painter? Have you ever met a painter that does a good job? So are you saying there's no difference between me hiring you and hiring someone else? And he said, no, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said, but my house would be painted, wouldn't it? Anyways, we ended the conversation, and you know, it was an entertaining and thoughtful thing for me to have the conversation, and went away. When we talk about the Orthodox faith, and today we celebrate the triumph of Orthodoxy, the celebration of when the icons were restored and processed back into the Hagia Sophia in Constantinople after 100 years of destruction and tearing apart of the churches and general disorder within the communities of Christ brought on upon the church by the emperor, and ultimately just tearing the society, tearing itself apart because of the belief about iconography. As we reflect on the Sunday of Orthodoxy, we look back, and as a faith, we are a historical church. We have, in the lives of the saints, in the preservation historically of what we believe about Jesus Christ passed down from the apostles, we have a lot of beautiful, wonderful, transformative things that we inherit. In the lives of the saints, we see the activity of Christ in every generation. We are able to confess that Jesus Christ is not simply dead and gone, and that not only did he rise from the dead, but in every generation he works wonderful, wonderful things with people. He transforms sinners through repentance into saints. Wonderful examples in every age, from every place in society, from every ethnic group, from universally around the world. There are people who, when they encounter Christ in the Orthodox faith, and they go and they follow through, are transformed, they're healed, they're humbled, and they're brought into a right relationship with God. Now, the way we think about this faith is we think about it as a therapy. And we think about this in our sense is that there's a lot of emphasis on preserving it. Preserving the Orthodox faith as though it was a therapy or a methodology of salvation. That we, when we go to the doctor, we want a doctor who is trained. We want a doctor who lives within the bounds of medicine, who isn't simply trying to try a new thing every day, who has good bedside manner, but in the end is able to show a history of the cure actually working. And this is what we believe about the Orthodox Church. Now, all of these things I've said are backward-looking, talking about history. But the church is not simply a museum. And we must never be confused about that, because as we look at the Orthodox Church, it could be easy to kind of fall back and relax and to take it upon ourselves as members to say, aha, look at the church I'm part of. Look at its history. Look at its richness and the glories of Byzantium and the glories of all the various saints. And now I'm a part of this because I have joined it, because I'm here, because I'm now a communing Orthodox. That is not the point at all. It is easy to enshrine the past and to venerate it as though it's a museum of history. But Orthodoxy is meant to be lived. It's meant to be practiced. The Christian faith, in its truest form, is meant to be an art that is embraced and lived day to day, moment to moment, by each one of us that are here present. That's a different sort of triumph of Orthodoxy. Because there's no reason why we have to simply look to the past for saints and look to the past for glory. God is alive and well. The Holy Spirit exists. Christ still transforms. And if we're not seeing that transformation around us, then it also may be because sometimes we're cold. Sometimes we're distant. Oftentimes we're not living up to our calling. We're not attempting to actually follow the methodology, to submit ourselves to the therapy, and to pursue Christ at all cost. So there is another triumph where we look to the future. You see, as we look to the past, as we embrace the faith now, and how do we do that, by the way? Just very pragmatically, we embrace the faith by practicing those things that Christians are called to practice. Certainly, you all are here worshiping in church. That's part of it. Coming to church is part of what Orthodox do. There's no substitute for it. Secondarily, we read the scriptures. We read the lives of the saints. If we can't read, we go and we listen to these things. We go with the teachings of the church. We pray. We fast. We do the practices, those basic practices that we're encouraged to do, whether by sermon or whether we've read it, but within the Orthodox faith, that ultimately slowly transform us. There's a high price on faithfulness. Faithfulness to the faith is ultimately the glory or the triumph of orthodoxy. When you do the little things day by day, when you commit yourself to the way of life, the way of Christ, there is a great thing happening, a slow transformation that can happen in your life that heals, that reintegrates you. And really, that's what it's all about. That's how saints are made. That's how people become holy day to day, small efforts, being guided by the Holy Spirit. But it's not simply about today, it's also looking to the future. And if we want the future to be orthodox, then we also have to engender this faith, engender the day-to-day practices. When I say engender the faith, I don't mean to say, like the man in the coffee shop, well, I believe this, and I believe this, as if I was talking to my kid, well, Eliza, we believe this, and we believe this. No, Eliza knows what we believe because of what we do, because of the little practices we have. And we want this faith to be passed on from generation to generation so that the next generation can say, look back at the golden years and be talking about a recent time. And the next generation is in touch with the people who have been transformed by the faith in Jesus Christ, who actually lived it and didn't simply say they did within their intellectual ability and simply saying, I believe it, but actually lived it. So as we contemplate this particular feast, as we process today with icons, let us recommit ourselves. It's so easy to fall away. It's so easy to get lax. It's so easy to forget our high calling. Let's recommit ourselves to finding those little everyday things that we can do that build Christ within us, that build us up in the Holy Spirit, that help us know the Scripture, that help us to be more dedicated in our worship of Christ. Those things ultimately that bring us to some sort of inner transformation. In the end, and think about this, if we can only glory in the past, there is nothing to glory about. Because the past is the past that isn't coming back. The only thing that we can confess with a triumph of orthodoxy or any sort of celebration is really now, the transformation we see now, and ultimately and hope for, and the transformation we hope for in the future. You see, if it's dead now, it won't be passed to the future. So there is a great burden passed upon us for us to live the dedicated Christian life, pursuing God in all piety and in all grace. May our Lord Jesus Christ, as we celebrate this feast day, fill us with his Holy Spirit. May he give us the dedication to be faithful in all things. May he guide us to those little things that we can do. Ultimately, we know that we may get to heaven by the skin of our teeth, that some of us, maybe undeservingly, will get there, but probably undeservingly, will get there. But it's not simply about the fact that we get our toe or a foothold into heaven. For us, it is also about how we live our life on earth and the witness that we present to our other Christians, meaning within the church, to our society, because that is what transforms, that is what brings the message, that's the witness that heals society. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.